Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
September 16th, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Thank you for joining us. We are all over the place, Alaska, California, Nairobi, Kenya, Kingston, Jamaica, London, England. Ooh, there's a lot I could say about where this show is headed. Let me put this beautiful black man back up on the screen, talking about the one and only Bobby Brown. Now, my partner, first person that taught me the knowledge of self, Brother Charles, all of you all that supposedly have read Closing the Gap, I have exposed you. Only Brother Charles knew the page where Minister Farrakhan briefly mentions an interaction he had with Bobby Brown. I want to make a point about where Bobby and all of us go wrong as men, where Whitney is actually right, and Oprah when they have the session. And again, the session is a woman's only meeting that a man accidentally bumps into. No man wants to be in a room where the session is going on. Here's what Minister Farrakhan says. This is page 372 on Closing the Gap. It says here, I was talking to Bobby Brown in Houston, a great performer, and he said, brother, I really need your help. I pulled him close to me because there was a lot going on. I whispered in his ear, brother, you don't need me. You need a closer relationship with your creator. Now, the minister continues. He's responding to a question asked by Brother Jibril Muhammad, who conducted and compiled these interviews. The minister continues. He says, in answer to your question, which dovetails into what I said to him, talking about Bobby Brown, I said, when you were a sperm mixed with ovum, your mother wasn't conscious of this until she missed her menses, that something was happening with her. But the intelligence that was in the sperm knew what it had to do. So it made contact with the egg and the first cell of life began. Mom unaware, dad unaware. But you in that stage were aware, and the creator was aware, and the creator was present with you. As that first cell of life began rotating in the darkness of the womb, there was a light present in it that caused it to rotate. Then you became a clot. You became an embryo. You became a fetus. And God was ever present before anyone had a relationship with you. Boom, that's it right there. Let me repeat what the minister said. God was ever present before anyone had a relationship with you. Your duty is to create or to make a right relationship with your creator. I said, when you came forth, parents looked at you and loved you, happy to see you, and mama either gave you her breast or she gave you milk and you began to grow. You couldn't talk. You couldn't walk. You couldn't crawl. But something was going on in the brain. Mama didn't teach you to crawl. You just did that. Mama didn't teach you to pull on something sturdy that you can stand up. You did that. Then everyone was amazed when you took your first step, but no one taught you that. It was an intelligence that was already in you and a relationship with your creator that was nurtured by your mother, your father, and the environment in which you lived. The problem with men and women is that whether you believe in God or not, and this would apply to anyone who's an atheist, there was already intelligence in you before you became conscious. What is that? Some people call that God. Other people call it a creative force. Is that now no longer powerful in your life? Is there no directing, animating force within you? This is the problem that I have with a lot. Hold on, let me put the camera on me. We're done now with Bobby for a minute. This is the problem I have with a lot of people who don't have willpower. You would not have gotten here if there had not been any intelligent force directing you, overcoming obstacles. That's what the first sperm, or the sperm that made it to the ovum, is all about. That continues in you. you get lazier and weaker the older you get. So what Minister Farrakhan was telling Bobby is, you don't need me. You need a closer relationship with your creator, with the creative force, the directing intelligence in your life that already got you here before you had a relationship with anyone else. Now, that's the part that applies to women. Because, as we know, partly out of nature and partly out of something that's been corrupted, women see themselves too often through the life of a man before they've gotten to know who they are. So the root of the male-female relationship problem, as far as my limited experience or study shows, is that the man does not know what he's born to do or what his life's work is, and he gets involved in with a woman who either does not care about that and may have been attracted to something else, or has already developed dependencies upon men or upon males. This is my point about Bobby Brown. Is Bobby Brown really the first man that corrupted Whitney? Do y'all really believe that? Or were there other men, even in the music business, which is what I'm hinting at? How long has Whitney been in the music business? She met Bobby after she had been established. You think the first person to bring weed or cocaine to Whitney was Bobby Brown? The first man to hit her or abuse her emotionally was Bobby Brown? How can it be okay for Whitney to go back to the scene of the crime, the music industry, and not get back with Bobby? The way that Bobby Brown is made to appear by Oprah, in Whitney's own words, her own witness of what she actually experienced, most women will watch that and see that Bobby Brown, or think that Bobby Brown, has no redeeming qualities. I won't even use the word that people will use to describe him. Well, what could Bobby say about Whitney if he was given 50 million people and an audience? That's why I think before you take sides, it's important to look at the context. Clive Davis wants Whitney to go on Oprah so she can sell records. Oprah wants Whitney to come on because of ratings, and because maybe she honestly believes that it's therapy for her friend. But is this good for Bobby? Is it good for Whitney? Is it good for Bobby Christina? It is true that there is, you could say in a sense, there's no such thing as a no good woman, or wherever you find a quote unquote no good woman, there's a no good man. I do believe that there is, that the male force on a woman is the first corrupting influence. I don't think it's a woman. But what's the power that's greater than you or the person that you're in a relationship with? It's the creative force that got you here from the beginning. Whether it's the light that sparkled in the first atom, or whether it's the intelligence that's in the first cell, the egg and the sperm. I mean, you can't say that you were conscious of how you got here, or conscious of the pregnancy, or conscious in the act of consummation, conception. I mean, it's something deeper than just religion. You can't just say, you try to bring Jesus in, or Ramadan Mubarak, by the way, to all the Muslims. No drink, nothing. You can't see nothing. And of course, if I was drinking, do you think I would show y'all on air? I mean, come on. But Ramadan Mubarak to all the Muslims. You can't put this on Jesus or Muhammad. It's like some Muslims try to make it seem like Islam started with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Are you kidding me? The Quran alone tells you that it's the nature in which God created man. Read Surah 30, verse 30. And if there is a religion that Allah or God likens or connects with any human being, is Abraham first. He tells Muhammad to follow the religion of Abraham. And when you say your prayers, you pray for the same relationship with God as a Muslim that Abraham had with God, and Abraham and his followers had with God. That's the relationship that Muslims are patterned after. How much do we really know about Abraham? Now, I'm going to get to Shark Tank in a minute, but I just wanted to make that point. If you have the book Closing the Gap, let me put the book up on the screen. We've talked about this book before. I love the answer Minister Farrakhan gave to Bobby Brown, which is, you don't need me. You need a closer relationship with your creator. He put it right off of himself, because there's people that will try to make the minister worship him, make him the God in your life, or whoever. It could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It could be Jay-Z. It could be whoever you look up to, that you put in the place of the creative force that got you here. That's the problem in relationships, if you ask me. So if Bobby Brown had focused on that, getting the knowledge of who he is, then naturally from that, the relationship with Whitney and his daughter would have been better. Now, that's the criticism that you want to give. But both of these young people have been turned out, corrupted by an industry that has power like none other, if you ask me. Page 372 of Closing the Gap is where Minister Farrakhan talks about his conversation with Bobby Brown. I take a break real quick, maybe. If you watch Shark Tank, I'm going to do a show review for the remainder of this hour. To me, it's the most important show on television, anywhere, as it relates to learning the science of business and the relationship between the entrepreneur and the investor. I highly recommend Shark Tank. It is my new favorite show. It's about to be replaced by Brick City, the Sundance Channel documentary, which starts, I think, tomorrow night. But we'll be watching Brick City as well as Shark Tank. Joe Wilson is important. Healthcare is important. President Obama, whether what Jimmy Carter said, whether people are racist against President Obama, that's important, but it's not more important than finding out who you are, learning about economics, geopolitics, human motivation, and the science of music. That's what we try to do every week. September 16, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. My book is coming out any day now. If you are following me on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're on our mailing list for the show, you will hear about it. You will hear about it. Or else I'm not doing my job. Or professionals around me and my team are not doing their job. I have a third volume. It's a three-volume series, three-book series. And one-third of the series, or one volume, deals exclusively with suffering, willpower, and the effect that pursuing a dream has on your closest relationships. But the point about Bobby Brown and the creative forces and your willpower is you've already accomplished something by being here through a power in you that you don't understand. I don't care if you're religious or not, or you're an atheist or not. You had to explain to me the science of what was driving the sperm to connect with the egg, to develop, to come forth. You don't remember any of that. You had no role in that. So whether there was a supreme being involved, whether there was a God or a creative force in you or outside of you, you and your two biological parents don't understand it. This is why I tell people, be careful about telling someone they worship a mystery God and you don't. You can't explain the power of your own existence. A lot of us can be very arrogant with a little bit of knowledge. Shark Tank. This is the show right here. Two of the contestants on Shark Tank got my attention. There was one lady, an entrepreneur. She developed a sports bra. We're going to start with her because the way they reacted to her, I think, is instructive for many of us in business. Listen up.
I'm Kimberly Casey, and my company is Calyx Technologies. It's a business that was created for women by women. I competed around the world as a professional golfer for 5 years. My experience as a professional athlete has truly inspired me and my business. After I retired from my career as a professional golfer, I also went through a divorce. I really felt a need to reinvent myself. I've spent 3 years researching our concept, developing our prototypes, and beta testing our products. Along the way, investors have come and gone. But right now, my company is really running on fumes. I've invested almost my entire life savings into this company. I must get an investment from the sharks, or I'm really not sure how we're going to be able to keep the company going forward. Hi there, I'm Kimberly Casey, and these are the lovely ladies of TIX. My company is Calix Technologies. Tonight we're seeking $125,000 in exchange for 20% equity in our business. At Calix Technologies, we believe that when a woman exercises, balls are the only thing that should bounce. I know the subject of bouncing breasts might be laughable to some people. However, exercise-induced breast pain is a serious problem that affects millions of women. Every Calix sports bra is designed to be as fashionable, feminine, flattering as it is functional. As you can see, we have 8 bras in our line. Each of these bras has been engineered to work with a woman's body depending on what type of activity she enjoys. Let me show you what I mean. First up is our Enlightened line of bras. These are comfortable and supportive, but they're a little bit sexy. Next up are Extreme Ladies. These are bras designed for women that like to go fast and aren't afraid to fall down. Last up are our Elite Athletes. These bras are designed for women that are going for the gold. Each of these bras incorporates our patentable Calix Power Sling, a wireless mesh insert designed to restrict breast motion across multiple planes, making it possible for women to exercise without pain.
And Kimberly, do you have sales, or is this a brand new startup?
We're a brand new company. We've been about 3 years in development. Right now, we have a waiting list of over 250 women who are eager to buy our products, and we just got our first order from a retail store a few days ago called The Full Cup.
Do you have a projection of what your sales will be this year or next year?
We've had a rough go of it. Some people might not want to admit what I'm about to say. Calix is really running on fumes right now. I've put my life savings into this business.
How much have you put into this?
I've probably put over $100,000 of my own money.
There are many, many sports bras out there.
There are many sports bras. I was wearing sports bras that would come all the way up my chest or that would smash my breasts into this awful uniboob. They were uncomfortable, they were unattractive. I don't have to play like a girl, but I can still look like one.
Kimberly, who's the leader in this market right now?
There's really 5 key competitors. Champion, Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and Moving Comfort.
Oh, they're not well known.
We definitely have our work cut out for us. But before we started developing our products, we interviewed over 250 women. Found about 90% of those women are really dissatisfied with sports bras that are on the market.
But Kimberly, as an average consumer, I walk into a large retailer, I've got these 5 companies that spend billions of dollars telling me that they're the best product. And here you are, on your own little company. How in the world are you going to compete against those guys that have distribution, have billions of dollars in marketing, and every woman out there knows their brand name?
Well, first, every one of those companies started right where we are today.
I can't decide if I'd rather stick needles in my eyes or give you $125,000. Do you know how tough it's going to be to gain any market share?
Do you have a patent on any of this stuff?
We don't hold the patent yet right now. As I mentioned, our company really is running on fumes, and we have our provisional patents ready to file.
What would you use the money for, the $125,000? What are you going to do with it when you get it?
Largest percentage of that money would go towards our manufacturing costs.
But you have no orders yet. What are you going to manufacture?
Well, that's our part of our go-to-market strategy. We intend to take our products directly to the consumer through our GoCalix website.
Kimberly, I see tremendous competition, so I'm out.
If I took $125,000 of my money that I waited on tables for, killed myself to get my hands on, when would I see that money back?
Most likely by year 5.
By year 5. Much too long for me. I'm out.
You know, it's a little too early for me to jump into this. I'm out.
Well, one thing I can share with you is that our brand identity is pretty strong.
Kimberly, you're just starting out. Not only are you going after this big a market, you're going after this part of... I'm sorry, I'm out.
Kimberly, the problem is I'm not sure the world needs another sports bra. The truth is you're a nothing burger in this market. Nothing. You have nothing. And $125,000 isn't going to get you anything. You need huge marketing dollars to make that brand even mean anything. That's the problem. You know that. You know what I think? I think you know you're dead. This is over. Now, you came here to hear the truth. I just gave it to you. But I cannot put my money in harm's way here. There is no hope. You're going to zero with this. I'm out.
Thank you all for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Don't cry.
No.
It's the beginning of something else and the end of this.
That's yet to be seen. I thought that the sharks might have been able to see the opportunity and how much passion was behind this company and how many women it means the world to. Not just me.
He broke her heart.
Look, I told her the truth, and that was the truth. Does anybody doubt that?
Now, come on, that's crap. When you started out, nobody looked at you and said, Kevin, that's a bad idea. You should stop. Nobody ever said that to you.
When I started out, there weren't five competitors that owned 100% of the market.
Really, when I started out, there were 1,000 competitors. Look, you do something that's so different nobody else in the world does? Give me a break. There's a million guys like you on Wall Street.
Shame on you for not telling the truth.
She has hope. She's just
there's no hope.
If she gets a patent on that and then she licenses it,
there's no hope. That's going to zero.
If everybody stopped when some guy told them to.
Oh, you know, then why didn't you write a check, Robert, if you're so nice?
There's a difference between being an investor and being the entrepreneur.
I gave her a huge opportunity to stop wasting money.
No. I'm not saying...
And put it into a new business, one that might succeed.
Look, I'm not saying you told her the wrong thing. What I'm saying
to you is... Well, you're saying my style.
You could see
like my style of telling you the truth?
Hang on a sec. You'd see that
waste
woman's...
words.
Come on, that woman put her life into this for 3 years.
Robert!
You could see it in that.
So what? This is business. Life is hard. Then you die. Get over it.
Well, maybe in your world.
In my world, in everybody's world.
Enough. Calm down. Well,
there's a different way to say the same thing.
No. I don't want to give encouragement where there is none. When you're dying, you have to be told the truth.
You can kill the idea, but you can encourage the person.
I told her the truth, and I'm proud to do it, and I'll do it again.
Wow.
That's it. End of story.
We swim in different waters, my friend.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I had to say, do you think he was too harsh? That was, I believe, Kevin O'Leary. I believe that... That was what the woman needed to hear. Let me tell you what I think was wrong. Let me put the camera back on your boy. Here's what was wrong. You heard one of the obvious problems with her business. No patent. Now, in my book, I have a chapter on internet intellectual property. Trademarks, copyrights, patent. This can give you a comparative advantage and it can keep your competition from hurting you. It can prevent competition. That's what intellectual property does. Trademarks, very important. Copyrights, patents, very important, particularly in a Western economy. Now, the concept of ownership as it relates to places like where kinship systems dominate, tribe, ethnicity, religious groups, then you have to walk carefully with property rights. That's a big issue. But in the West, if you're not protecting your property rights, you're dead in the water. That was one thing. She didn't get a patent. Two, look up on your screen. I'm going to throw a book cover up. I don't mind promoting other people's books. This is an essential book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. Get a good look at that cover. Let me zoom it in a little bit clearer for you. The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing by Al Reese. I think it's Al Reese and Jack Trout. You need this book. Little short, little small book. She's a sports bra maker in what they accurately explain is a crowded field. Nike's in it, all these others. This book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing, will show you how you generally will have no more than seven. The human being cannot classify or remember more than seven different competitors in a certain field. So you can try it on yourself. How many toilet paper companies are there? How many computer software companies are there? How many soda drink companies are there? It never gets above seven. It's usually around three to five at the most. Sneaker companies. So there's something, there's a science to that law of marketing that she violated. If she is coming into a field where five companies have already dominated, that means that she's entering into a very, what they call a mature industry. So she's got to do something to differentiate her sports bras from the sports bras of the major competitors who are already dominating the market. Now, here's my thought. She should have gone to the local high schools in her area and spoke to the athletic departments. Could these sports bras be purchased for the members of the women's sports teams? Local colleges, that's her advantage. She's from the neighborhood. The local newspapers will write about her. Sometimes the greatest advantage that you can have against an established multinational competitor is that you are small, grassroots, local. She needed to put her money in marketing. Get the endorsement of local female sports figures. The curse of death for her, though, was that she said she was not going to turn a profit and the investor would not see anything until year five. Way too long. Way too long. Right around 3 years is when, 3 to 5 in general, but right around 3 years is when you should start to see something. Or there should be changes made that reflect the environment. So waiting for year five for the first profits was a kiss of death. No intellectual property. No marketing plan to capture a local market. And waiting until year five to show profit. This is what doomed this entrepreneur. Let's check out another entrepreneur that I thought was exemplary of something. By the way, I deal with all of this in my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret, coming soon, very soon. I have a section on intellectual property. I have a section on distinguishing yourself from your competitors, not just your competitors, but substitutes, things that will come from technology that will take your customers or fulfill the same function that you're already fulfilling. Like the internet right now is replacing television and the movies. Nobody saw that coming. I would say the television studios did not see this coming 5 years ago. That's why they're in the situation that they're in. So let's check out the next entrepreneur from Shark Tank. Again, if you needed a reason to sign up to follow me in my tweets, I'm going to be tweeting live starting September 29th during Shark Tank. I'm not... By the way, some of you all are skeptical of a Twitter. I just want to let you know that I'm not going to be tweeting you about what toothpaste I'm using. It won't be any of that. It'll be all primarily business-oriented tweets. I won't be telling you that I just pulled up at it and saw a prostitute at the traffic light. Some of you are out of control with these tweets. If I was Chad Ochocinco, I would give you all a big child please.
First up is Jonathan Miller, a young entrepreneur with an innovative internet business.
My name is Jonathan. I'm 29, and I live in Chicago with my wife, Jenny. My company is Element Bars. We do custom energy bars. So the inspiration for Element Bars was that I used to eat an off-the-shelf energy bar and then crash. And so I'd look at the label, and the label had a list of completely unpronounceable ingredients, and I was like, there's got to be a better way. I wanted a bar that was wholesome and natural and catered to my specific taste. So I started making my own energy bars in my own kitchen. And that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. At the current facility, we can make from 12 bars to thousands of bars a day. In fact, we're shipping about 1,000 bars per week. So we really have grown in our operational capability, but we're looking to grow to the next step.
So today's order is crispy cranberry. So it's our crispy base with cranberries, a little bit of peanut butter in there, and some crunch from some soy nuts in there. It gets all mixed together, and then they're going to measure it out and mold it into each individual bar.
I put a lot into this. I put a year and a half of my own time and really been leaning on my wife to be able to support us in this very tough economic time. So there's a lot riding on it.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Miller. My company is Element Bars. I'm seeking a $150,000 equity investment in exchange for 15% of the company. At Element Bars, users visit our website to create their own custom energy bar by first selecting whole natural ingredients, personalizing the label, and then a fresh batch of energy bars shows up at your doorstep in 7 to 10 days. Now, I did my homework, and I created each of you your own custom energy bar.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So the first thing you might have already noticed is that the label has been personalized for you. So Kevin's, for example, is called the As Seen on TV, and Barbara's is called the Sweet and Smart Bar. You're also tasting the customized bar for your taste and nutritional needs. So as I said, we personalized the label, but we also customized the ingredients inside the bar for you.
It's very good.
So let me show you how I made Barbara's bar and how anyone can use our website to create their own custom energy bar. So you use our Build-A-Bar interface, and you first select a core. Do you want it chewy? Do you want it oaty? Do you want it crispy, or do you want it datey? So for Barbara's bar, which we're showing here, you select the chewy core. Now we walk you through the rest of the five-step process to select your fruits, nuts, sweets, and boosts along the way. As you add each specific ingredient, the nutrition label on the right side of the screen here continuously gets updated.
I'm going to not eat anymore till I know how many calories are in
it. It's right on the back.
It's right on the back. Yeah, you can check it out.
So I've just tried the Mr. Wonderful bar.
Yeah.
And yes, I am Mr. Wonderful, but the bar was quite good. Why is this company valued at $1 million? Because that's basically what you're telling me it's worth when you ask me for $150,000 for 15%.
Sure. So we started in August 2008. We've sold about 30,000 bars to date, just 20,000 this year. We're on track to hit 44,000 bars by the end of the year. We've doubled our sales in just in the last 6 months. We've grown 15% per year.
So you grossed how much last year?
It was only a partial year. We August 2008, so we only grossed 12,000. So this year, we're about $50,000 to date.
It's an interesting business.
Mm-hmm.
But the value that you're telling your business is worth is insane. You've got 50,000 in sales, so I believe the machines work and you've sent some bars up. Got it. That's all you have. You don't have $1 million business, and yet you want me to give you my money as if you did.
I understand your perspective. I've actually worked in VC.
Say you worked in venture capital, then you know my job is to squeeze your head like a teenage pimple right now.
And I absolutely understand that. I understand, and you also understand, that on the other side of the table, that you're buying into not only the business, but you're buying into me.
So let me ask you a question. You're a VC guy. You're a smart guy. What's more important, the idea or execution?
I believe it's execution.
I do, too. So how do you go in a year and a half with an interesting idea to $1 million? Do you think it's worth that today?
I believe it's worth it today.
No, you don't. You don't really believe it's worth $1 million today. You can't. You're too smart a guy. You sat around in your kitchen or wherever, came up with an idea, and a year and a half later, you want to say it's worth $1 million.
I genuinely believe it. I mean, I ate the energy bar for breakfast this morning. It's something that once it enters your lifestyle.
How much of your own money have you put into this business?
I put $50,000 of my own money, and I haven't taken a salary out of this company in a year and a half.
Cry me a river.
I believe in it so strong, that's what I'm willing to commit to.
You got to do that. You're a startup guy. Everybody knows you got to work like a dog.
Absolutely, but I'm selling you my passion. I'm selling you both the horse and the jockey.
Okay, let's say you're wonderful and did a great presentation. You have $50,000 in sales. If I said your company was worth 10 times that, it would still only be worth $500,000. And you want not 10% more than that. You want 100% more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you being a savage, greedy pig or not?
I'm doing what's in the best interest of the company and the idea.
Well, maybe not, because
yeah, you may lose the deal.
There's nothing proprietary about the process or what you're doing.
I disagree with you.
Wait a second. Here's my question. What do we need this guy for?
Yeah.
You need his formula.
Why do we need his formula? We can find that.
You can just go to a factory and get this done yourself.
Unfortunately, you can't.
Why?
Especially not at small volumes. That's our operational expertise. You have to believe in me and the business. Give me the money. Know that I can do it, and I will execute and show you the numbers.
You came in here, I ate your bar, I got a sugar high, I got excited, now I'm crashing.
With dates? There's no added sugar in your date bar.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I'll be the first to say this. This is the toughest deal I've looked at.
Because you love the guy.
I love the guy. I've got to be honest with you, I'm really struggling. I really am. And that doesn't happen to me very often, my friend. But I'm out.
I would like to answer your objections, even if you are out, okay? What you see on the website is only the tip of the iceberg, okay? So what we have is the actual recipes behind the bars. What you tasted great. Most of the energy bars out there taste like chalk. That's where it starts. Second thing is the actual trade secrets that are going
behind. He's such a great salesman.
But he's not, worth $1 million.
That's the thing. I'm an entrepreneur.
No.
But I sell my business. I believe in it passionately.
You're like a micro, a mini shark. Okay. But I don't get the business, personally. I just don't believe the market is there. Or if it is there, I think somebody's going to knock it off. So I'd be nervous at night, you holding my money. I'm out.
I mean, there is a saying in business that the first person to say the number loses. And you really did put up a very high number.
If a greater equity was out there, would that still interest you or period?
100? You're offering more equity?
Well, that's certainly a possibility.
Why don't you put out a number?
Put out a number, yeah.
No, I can't negotiate with myself. You pull the lever. I'm giving you the power.
The valuation is still crazy. As he said, I would have to have 75%.
Is that an offer?
Oh, my God, this guy's great. I love this
guy. He is, right?
Yeah. You should forget this business. Come work for me.
For 75% of the business, I'll give you $150,000.
I'm open to hearing what the different options are out there.
You want to hear my offer?
I would love to hear your offer.
All right. 7 years ago, I bought into the customized nutrition concept.
Okay.
And it turned out this company is now taking off. I believe they're going to be interested in this product. And contingent upon that execution of that deal, I put up the $150,000 for 100% of the company. And you'll get a 4% royalty forever, as we say, in perpetuity.
So there's two offers on the table.
But remember, I'm a marketing and branding genius, and I will put that stuff everywhere.
What are you going to do?
Jonathan has two offers on the table. Damon has offered $150,000 for 75% of the company, while Kevin Harrington has offered the same amount for 100% of the company, but with a 4% royalty paid to Jonathan.
What are you going to do?
So I'll start with Damon's offer. At 75%, you have to understand from my perspective, too, that would completely demotivate me as an entrepreneur, and would also limit me in terms of growing in the future. So 75% is way too much.
So you're declining me?
I think he's saying no.
I'm saying
no. Are you
going
to give me a counter?
I'm going to give you a counter. So I'll give you 20%. Okay?
Yo, wait. Is there a ruffle panties on me?
Damon, you know what I love about it is he said it with a straight face.
I am very worried a very large lightning bolt's going to come down and just bzzz, and you're going to be gone and there's going to be a bar shaking in the wind out there.
In this negotiation, you see how I'm also going to act on your behalf when I'm negotiating with someone else. I wouldn't want them to walk away with the rest of the company if it's a supplier or if it's another equity partner coming in after you and trying to dilute you.
Oh, this guy's good.
The best thing you sold here was Jonathan. You're a star.
Let's not waste each other's time. Let me just ask a really simple question. Are you going to go above 50 or not?
Am I going to go above 50?
Yeah.
No.
I'm out. You're a great salesman, but you're not a great business guy. I'm out.
I'm declining the counter of 20% and the insult.
Okay.
But he's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. I like him. I think he's
like
an entrepreneur.
Him a lot. With that said, I'm out.
Four sharks are out, and Jonathan only has an offer from Kevin Harrington still in play.
I made you an offer.
Right.
Where do we stand?
So you're going to pay $150,000.
And then you're going to receive your royalty on those sales.
And what do I own in terms of equity, too? Or all I get is a royalty?
You get the royalty.
So no equity.
Life is hard, then you die.
But the royalty stream is gross. I put up all the money. I take all the risk. I have all the overhead, okay? You just collect a check every week. That's how it works. Do we have a deal or not?
I think it's going to have to be the hardest deal that I have to turn down. The 4% is something that is not going to keep me motivated as a person. And I want to see this company grow, unless it's some sort of better equity. Unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to turn down your offer.
Jonathan, I have one last counter proposal, okay? It's a do or die, okay?
I got it.
I want to license Element Bars. I'll put up the $150,000, and you'll receive 4% of sales forever. And I want to own 35% of the company, okay? Is that a deal that you can do?
It sounds nitpicky, but you got to get to my negotiating range. My negotiating range is 25%. I'm sorry. Because I have
That's
to be able to walk
BFF.
Away.
Jonathan, all right, I'll tell you what. I'm a fair guy. I'll split the 35 into 25 at 30, but that's it.
All right, 30%. We have a deal.
Okay, super.
All right.
Whoa!
Okay, buddy.
It was a pleasure.
Jonathan, come over here, man. Rob, get out of here. Take his seat.
Yeah, here, Jonathan. Jonathan, sit there.
Good job, Jonathan.
I look forward to it. I'm really excited.
Okay, me too.
Outstanding. You crazy chicken.
I'm so excited. I think we all, it was long, it was intense. It felt like it was teetering on the edge for a while, but now I'm just euphoric.
Now, what was it that stood out about Jonathan, the energy bar, internet-based energy bar business? How many times did you hear him use the word motivation? He said he knew he wouldn't be motivated until he got certain things. That's a man who has he knows who he is. He's enlightened. He has a self-interest. They could not move him. That's why you kept hearing them praise him. Oh, he's a beast. They couldn't sway him from the deal that he was looking for. He was confident in his valuation. And again, I talk about this in my book, How to Value Your Business. It is a subjective science. There's no real one right way to value your business. But for any person who's going to enter into a negotiation with an investor and you don't know, you don't have some idea of what that business is worth, you might as well have gone into a boxing match with one hand tied behind your back. You have to have some sense of what you think your business is worth, or else you'll get clobbered in a negotiation. This man was supremely confident, and he thought like an investor. And if there was one thing I could stress for entrepreneurs, it is think like an investor. Don't just think about an entrepreneur. This is like kind of like from my music industry days. Think about, if you're an artist, don't just think about what you like. I mean, I don't know how many people I've seen make this mistake. They make music for themselves, not the marketplace. You want people to buy the stuff, right? Or like it. I say one of the most frustrating experiences I had in the music industry, and I still have it, when people come and ask me to consult or give my two cents on a project, artists don't want to hear anything other than what they already believe about their artwork. The funniest thing to me would be to find a musician who obviously sounded like somebody who was already on the radio, who absolutely refused to believe that they sounded like that person. I mean, do you really believe that R. Kelly didn't know that he sounded like Aaron Hall when he first came out? He evolved into another sound, but the people who signed R. Kelly, they saw Aaron Hall. You feel me? So what I like about Jonathan is he was willing to accept the viewpoint. He already had it coming in of an investor. Excellent salesman, made his presentation quick and concise, got quick answers, wasn't afraid of forcing people to be black or white, yes or no. One of the things that I find, and this is race oriented, one of the things I find with black service providers, black entrepreneurs, is they like to drag out the process, leave you in a gray area, rather than just giving you a firm yes or no. I can or I can't do it. This is how much it costs. This is what I want out of something. I'm gonna be honest with you. If I call a white entrepreneur Jewish entrepreneur, I get something quick. Or I get an invitation to negotiate. When if I try to find a black service provider, they want to talk. They want to drag it out. They want to take their time and think about it. They use stalling tactics to stay in this gray area. It's one of the worst things you can do. If someone is going to give you a no, you want it right away so you can move on to the next person. This is the show to watch, Shark Tank, y'all. If I had to pick right now between telling a young person to watch Meet the Press or watch Shark Tank, I'm saying Shark Tank. I may base the next semester at Black Economic University around my book and the Shark Tank episodes. The Entrepreneurial Secret coming soon, my book. I'm on a panel next week at George Mason University, 3 views on President Obama. I'm looking forward to it. If you want to come out and join us, we've linked to this at blackelectorate.com. It's up there. Next Tuesday, September 22nd, Obama, 3 views. I'm not 100% yet, but I will be there, God willing. Send your comments on Bobby and Whitney. And by the way, a lot of new viewers today. Bobby and Whitney is important, but it's not more important than Shark Tank, if you understand. Because one of the things that the last entrepreneur was presented with was the opportunity to get nothing but a royalty. Did you see how he reacted to that? He said, I would not be motivated if I did not have equity in the company. A royalty alone would not motivate me. Every single artist of note is getting a royalty. They don't have any equity for the most part. Now, nowadays it's changing. 10 points, 18 points, 20 points. The rise of the independent artist now. One of the benefits of the music industry coming down and crashing is more artists are getting equity, not just royalties. If you're getting just a royalty, you're hustling backwards, as my man Jigga would say. So what made Jonathan excel as an entrepreneur was his knowledge, evaluation, his understanding of how to negotiate and present himself, and his clarity on what motivated him. He expressed that, and he did a deal. September 16, 2009 is the hottest show in the diaspora. We'll tell someone. We're trying to do something a little bit different over here. I think it's appreciated, but I'm confident in what we're doing as far as it being needed. Got to turn it into a business. Folks have to invest in what they want, not just react against what they don't want. We've talked about that a little bit in the past. I want to get money with you. I have a new hourly intro. I have a friend of mine going to Europe soon. If she is listening, then she will appreciate this. Geopolitics, economics, music, and motivation is where it's at. Gotta branch out, man. Civil rights and human rights will always have their place, but we got to add more plays into the playbook. Speaking of the playbook, Michael Vick. Ooh, Donovan. Already hurt, brother? Damn. We'll be right back. New hourly intro. I got the brains. You got the brawn. Or perhaps you have the beauty. Let's get this money. We'll be right back.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
I'm going to read you guys a little something I have on all of our hang tags. There is no easy way to achieve what I desire most. Perseverance will allow me to fulfill my dreams. No one could stop me from what I want to accomplish. I wrote that quote. It's on every hang tag.
Wait. I've got something here. I'm money. I don't give a damn. I just want to have more money.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
sober, stimulating, and hot. It's the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program. Tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
September 16th, 2009, the hottest show in the diaspora. I want to talk about kinship systems and how they disrupt economic development, or how they are the basis of economic development, particularly in Africa. This is the basis of my new book that I'm already starting to work on. I have two more books that I want to finish and have out by May of next year, God willing. We'll have them out. Big subject with me: race, religion, tribe, ethnicity, and gangs, the key to building economic power. I talk about this in my book. I have a chapter on group economics and kinship systems. But let me read your comments, and then I'll get into what's going on in Rwanda, Ghana, to make my point. Raekwon, only built for Cuban links, part two. We'll review that next hour. You can go tell somebody I'll be pumping Raekwon for like an hour. Give you my review. By the way, I gave Whitney 4 out of 5 crescents last week. 4 out of 5 crescents. That's very high. Whitney Houston's album, I Look to You. Okay, I'm a little bit backed up. So here we go. Hour number one, we chopped up Bobby and Whitney extensively. Reggie from Chicago makes a great point. He says, greetings, Cedric. Whitney Houston's candid interview with Oprah could possibly affect Bobby Brown's career. This is similar with Tina and Ike. Ike and Tina. Peace. Did you all think of Ike and Tina when you were watching Whitney on Oprah? That did not cross my mind. Rod Guignard trying to guess my age. You're 1 year over. Rod says, is Bobby Christina, judging by her obvious maturity for such a young girl, she will only get more mature as she fights her way through the web of the music industry. I think I'm with Trent regarding the Oprah. You almost got me, man. You guys are going to try to get me to say the obvious subject that Oprah did not bring up with Whitney, because it may be a little self-incriminating. That's all I'm going to say. I almost said it. Glenn from Philly, he says Kanye looked almost broken up there on Jay Leno, which was difficult for me to watch, even though his actions were inappropriate. Yeah, Kanye was about to start crying. I just felt like Jay Leno, you know, mentioning Kanye's mother was a low blow. So Kanye did a good job. I thought he was about to boo-hoo cry right on late night television. So Rabia Muhammad from Chicago comes back. She says, as for why Whitney doesn't want her daughter in the music business, which was a question that I posed, my take is that she holds this position for the very reasons you are discussing today. For example, compromising of reality, which was initially responsible for Whitney's indulgences for the sake of making money. Joseph from Brooklyn was tuning in. He says, peace, Cedric. Welcome back from the edge of death, brother. I missed the show last week, but I caught up on the archives. ODB forever. Brooklyn is in the house. The best award show stopper ever. R.I.P. A Son Unique. Elijah from Portland, Oregon comes back. He says, I remember watching an interview of Whitney Houston in the late 1990s or early 2000s. She was being interviewed about her problems with Bobby being publicized in magazines and paparazzis, etc. With Allah as my witness, I remember her saying, this is what Elijah from Portland, Oregon writes, I remember her saying that she would not be having all this attention from the media if she was with a white man. Okay.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Mahoney, on the Black Coffee Channel. Think about it, see.